The dangers to our country can come not only across borders, but from violence that gathers within.
September 11th, marked by solemn remembrance. It's Monday, September 13th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Find us online. We're at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, the Taliban on 9/11. Urgency to leave Afghanistan. South Asia goes back to school. It's all on today's VOA Asia. September 11, 2001 will forever be a date remembered by Americans. On that day, nearly 3,000 people were killed in an act of terrorism. President Joe Biden and First Lady Jill Biden honored the lives of those lost on the day's 20th anniversary with visits to the sites of the attacks in New York City and the Pentagon and where a plane crashed in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. VOA's Carolyn Pursuti brings us the events of the day.
Silence. Then, marking 8:46 a.m. when the first plane hit.
William G. Biggert.
Brian Eugene Bilcher.
2977. The number of those who died is seared in the hearts of Americans. At the New York City Memorial, President Joe Biden and former Presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. This is the site where 20 years ago, two planes slammed into the World Trade Center towers. Biden's pre-recorded words on lessons learned.
In the battle for the soul of America, unity is our greatest strength.
Silence at the Pentagon at 9:37 when a third plane hit. In Shanksville, Pennsylvania, 40 passengers forced their plane to the ground after realizing hijackers planned to crash it into another iconic building. The ground of the fourth plane now.
A common field one day, a field of honor forever.
Vice President Kamala Harris and former President George W. Bush attended the Pennsylvania Memorial. 20 years ago, then-President Bush promised to defeat al-Qaeda as he led the country into wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, which the U.S. military just left.
And we have seen growing evidence that the dangers to our country can come not only across borders, but from violence that gathers within.
President Biden did not speak publicly on 9/11. He kept a low profile, changing his flight route and honoring the sites only after the day's events. He talked to a few reporters at an unscheduled stop.
Can al-Qaeda come back? Yeah, but guess what? It's already back other places. What's the strategy? Every place where al-Qaeda is, we're going to invade and have troops stay there?
The citizens who we defend.
At the Pentagon observance, VOA's Carla Babb asked Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin if America is safer today than 20 years ago.
We operate a lot better, you know, within the interagency in terms of our ability to share information, our ability to coordinate and deconflict. So because of all of those things, I would say, yeah, we are safer.
Some say safer, too, because of the lives lost, honored Saturday, and the military who went into battle as a result of 9/11. Carolyn Pursuti, VOA News, Washington.
These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on voanews.com. Australian court rules media companies responsible for comments on their Facebook pages. Why China would give more aid and investment to Leary Philippines. Taliban say women to study in segregated classes. Would-be foreign fighters dreaming of Afghanistan. School in a bus brings hope to out-of-school children in India's capital. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are found on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. 20 years after the United States and NATO ousted them from power, the Taliban are back. But as VOA's Aisha Tanzim reports, the country they are trying to rule is now filled with a youthful population that is significantly more educated and aware.
As the Taliban wipe colorful murals with their human faces from Kabul's walls, many wonder how many of the gains of the last 20 years will be washed away with them. The insurgent group now in power is trying to rule a country that looks much different than the one it ruled 20 years ago. And while the Taliban have promised their new regime will be different from the oppressive rule of the 1990s, the international community is expressing profound disappointment with their cabinet selections.
Those who hoped for and urged for inclusivity will be disappointed. There are no women in the names listed. There are no non-Taliban members, no figures from the past government, nor leaders of minority groups.
Still, it's a mixed picture. The Taliban so far have respected the premises of foreign embassies and the United Nations. They have also given public pledges of a general amnesty for all their enemies. And they promise to uphold human rights, including women rights, as per their Islamic ideology. The international community also hopes to have some sway over the group, given the country's dependence on foreign aid. That help is urgently needed as the country faces a humanitarian crisis.
There is an immediate and pressing need to deliver, on a huge scale, essential humanitarian aid in areas such as health, food security, non-food items, and sanitation.
The Afghans of today are more educated and more connected to the world through mainstream and social media. Since 2004, they are also used to a constitution that gives equal rights to men and women. Many of them intend to use those rights, despite fears of a Taliban reprisal. Tamanna Pariyani protested against the Taliban in the streets of Kabul earlier this week. She sent VOA this message on WhatsApp.
برای فعلا که قصد خارج شدن از افغانستان ندارم و در همین شرایط سخت.
For now, I don't have any plan to flee Afghanistan. I am continuing my struggle until the international community accepts the Taliban's government. If the Taliban government is accepted by the international community, I would have no choice but to abandon Afghanistan and seek refuge in another country.
اما اگر حکومت طالبان را جهان به رسمیت بشناسه بعد مجبور میشیم که ما از اینجا بریم.
The Taliban are wiping away many of the changes of the last 20 years, but they also want to be recognized as a legitimate government, and that may require them to step back from extremist positions. Aisha Tanzeem, VOA News, Islamabad.
Happening now in Asia, children in Bangladesh flooded back into classrooms Sunday as schools reopened after 18 months, one of the world's longest coronavirus shutdowns. The resumption came after UNICEF warned that prolonged school closures during the COVID-19 crisis were worsening inequities for millions of children across South Asia. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We start off a brand new week together on VOA Asia. Nice to have you with us. A Qatar Airways passenger flight arrived in Doha from Afghanistan, the second to depart from the Kabul airport with the Taliban's permission since the chaotic U.S. military withdrawal that ended August 31st. White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara has the latest on evacuations from Afghanistan.
158 passengers, including Americans and other foreigners, are now in Doha, Qatar. Friday's flight is the second to depart from the Kabul airport since the chaotic U.S. military evacuations in August. The White House said 19 Americans were on the plane, but would not confirm to VOA whether they still consider flights out of Afghanistan as evacuations.
We're considering them people departing who want to depart of Afghanistan. I'm not sure that the word matters.
While many are now safe, at least hundreds of at-risk Afghans and some Americans are still left behind, including in the city of Mazar-i-Sharif, where private groups are attempting to get charter flights out.
I think the more we continue to call them evacuations, the more it will also add more political pressure onto those on the plane, probably more scrutiny onto those on the flights also. So there's a good part about kind of stopping to use that language. But at the same time, I really hope that that does not mean that we go about business as usual, because we do know there are people left behind that do not have passports, that do not have visas, and that still need our help.
The Biden administration is working with regional countries, including Qatar, where U.S. Secretaries of State and Defense visited earlier this week, to push for help for the people who want to leave Afghanistan. U.S. CIA Director William Burns was also in India and Pakistan earlier this week. Islamabad is committed to helping those who wish to leave Afghanistan, Pakistan's ambassador to the U.S. told VOA.
Now, in terms of who can come out and who cannot come out, this is a decision and determination to be made by the people in charge in Afghanistan. But so far as Pakistan is concerned, we have actually, our embassy has been working overtime.
Meanwhile, Afghans are arriving in other countries, including Albania, which is temporarily hosting 4,000 Afghan refugees. Albanian Prime Minister Edi Rama told VOA that his country considers it a duty to help them.
As a NATO member country, we had to stand for taking our share of responsibility to protect the people that were there for us and that worked with us.
The Taliban's return to power on August 15th has some Afghans, including those who work with international forces, worried that they may face reprisals, such as the one experienced by two Afghan journalists who say they were beaten by the Taliban this week and accused of organizing a protest in Kabul. Patsy Widakuswara, VOA News at the White House.
From India to Indonesia, Israel to Mexico. Students around the world have returned to classrooms after more than a year since the COVID-19 pandemic hit. But government guidelines for schools have changed many class traditions. We hear more from VOA's Mariama Diallo.
The new academic year started with new pandemic guidelines for schools across the globe. Students are getting temperature checks, must have clean hands, wear masks, and in some places, don face shields. In Israel, students were tested at the start of school.
All of the kids in our school performed the quick test, the antigen test. It's not mandatory, but it's something that we ask the parents to collaborate with us. So hopefully we can start the year with everybody being healthy and safe.
So we did the home COVID test and it was negative, so it was good. But I had a problem with my big boy. He was afraid of it very much. And I said, I'll do it to you. Don't worry. Everything will be fine. But so it took a while to convince him.
Students are heading back to school after closures last year affected some 660 million students, according to the World Health Organization.
Children have been affected significantly, both in terms of their educational attainment and progress, particularly, for example, younger children who have been delayed in their reading and literacy progress.
Students have also been impacted by the lack of socialization.
In fact, we are quite concerned about the mental health impact that this has had on children. And two of the advisory groups that we have set up since the beginning of the year in our region are on mental health and on schooling.
The French government called for caution as 12 million students return to school this month.
C'est une rentrée particulière.
The back-to-school season can lead to a renewal of the epidemic, so we have to be particularly careful. And this also requires us to continue the vaccination campaign because the vaccine remains an important tool in our ability to get through the crisis in the most sustainable manner possible.
In Indonesia, school bells are ringing again, but government guidelines have changed some things. Talking in class is not allowed, face masks must be worn, and teachers must be vaccinated. Indian authorities have given the green light to partially reopen more schools with health measures in place throughout September. Some education experts say the virus risk to children remain low and stress the need for children to return to school, particularly poorer students who face more challenges due to classes online. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
That's our program for today. You've been listening to VOA Asia. We're online. Continue with us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube. We also thank our team, Service Chief Diane Gao, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Chris Cascayo. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a terrific day ahead. Be safe. Be well.